At America's Best, we know your eyes do a lot. These eyes blink, wink, and roll.
These eyes tried to parallel park, then abandoned that idea.
These eyes spotted their ex across the grocery store, then pretended to compare pasta sauces.
These eyes fell asleep mid-scroll and liked a photo from 2014.
And these eyes know they deserve to be seen by the best doctors and associates at America's Best. Every eye deserves better.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
Good Monday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with Noah. Noah's on the board today, so you Twitchers can blame him. All right. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776 is the number if you would like to get in here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Apparently, we're working on some Twitch issues. If you can get to your radio, those of you on Twitch can't hear me, so oh well. Unfortunately, there are issues with the sound on the Twitch. So I'm going to tell everybody, get on either the website or listen.
On the website anyway.
It's terrestrially.
Yeah, that's way more than you 100 people on Twitch were worried about.
Yeah.
So it was another big day. This is one of the, I've never seen a run quite like this in sports in a non, there's really not anything going on sports-wise other than basketball, which would be pro basketball and March Madness. But the stories are headline stories. They're not basketball-related stories. They're monster stories that we continue to get. 3 weeks ago, Aaron Rodgers was going to go on the was scheduled to go on the Pat McAfee show, and it was expected that he might announce his retirement on Pat McAfee's show. So 170,000 people at one point were tuned into a live YouTube show to hear Aaron Rodgers after posting cryptic Instagram pictures of himself and Devontae Adams and Randall Cobb, and then another picture with him not in that picture, standing between those two guys. He had been eliminated from that picture. It was expected that this was going to be a post about how, you know, he's very, very thankful for everything in his life and all the opportunities, all these quarterbacks who've been in a building with him, the room. And so it's expected. Well, it looks like he may retire. Tom Brady's gone. Now Aaron Rodgers looks like he's going to retire. Fast forward 3 weeks, Tom Brady has a new deal, 4 years, $200 million.
No, and Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers does. And Tom Brady is back in the NFL. As of yesterday, well, if you didn't hear, Tom Brady, who's kind of been like just little, he's just let it sit out there, little hints and comments that you never say never and all this stuff. All of a sudden, Tom Brady is, after the long post that he had, thinking everybody but the Patriots and Bill Belichick, he's back.
Right.
With the Patriots. He just said, yeah, it wasn't time.
Well, he did. He said yesterday, I've decided that I am going to return for my 23rd NFL season. Thank you to my family and blah, 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 blah. Listen, you don't make those decisions. How many guys have said it? You don't make those decisions right after the season because you're just worn out. You're done. He's older. His body was probably beat up. He was disappointed by the loss. He was disenchanted. Now I'm just fed up. I'm done. A month later, he's like, oh, I'm rejuvenated. I feel good. So, I mean, how many guys have made that decision right after a season and gone, man, maybe I shouldn't have done that.
Tom Brady is no different than Jordan.
Yeah.
He's no different than most of the all-time greats who they think they're done and then they miss it already. And, you know, we don't know what was going on behind the scenes, but he'll come back. And at some point, what will happen is there's a good chance, a much better chance now that he will deteriorate. Like, you know, he'll be Jordan with the Wizards at some point because if you keep playing, eventually it'll get you. And Tom was the one guy who was going to avoid it, it looked like. But coming back at some point, Tom Brady is going to diminish, and we will see it happen. more than likely on the field, unless he retires after 1 year again. But this is a big deal for the Bucs. It's a big deal for the NFL. The NFL, I'm sure, is extremely happy
to have
Tom Brady back.
That's all fine and good. That's not the big story here. Big story here is no Bill on nine charges.
Yeah, that's right.
No Bill. Deshaun Watson, free to go, free to find a team. And he is going to be talking to the Panthers and the Saints because the Texans have said, he has said, I'm not going to go anywhere unless I talk to the teams. And the Texans said, go talk. Go ahead. So he's going to talk to both the Panthers and the Saints.
Not sure the Seahawks are even in the mix for Deshaun, by the way. I know Seahawks have been mentioned. I don't think the Seahawks are in Deshaun's plans.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Not the way they're just
had some conversations over the weekend, and what I hear is that Deshaun doesn't think he can win there.
No, I don't think he
doesn't think he can win in a place, which I'm not sure Carolina is going to get there.
Yeah.
So we're running out of. By the way, we're running out of places like Deshaun. Who do you think exactly needs?
Yeah.
Quarterbacks, it's teams that aren't the best.
Right. Denver took care of that business. I think that's somewhere he wanted to go. Hey, listen. You can look at it as Tom Brady. Okay, maybe Tom Brady, it goes to the Bucs and the Saints and the Panthers are both like, ooh, we got to do something. That's one less team that Deshaun Watson could have gone to. So that's not a great thing. It's not a great thing that Russell Wilson went to Denver because that was a team that needed a quarterback. That's not a great thing for the Houston Texans because Russell Wilson is there now. And by the way, Seattle's not attractive anymore. When you get rid of Russell Wilson and when you get rid of Bobby Wagner, I don't know how attractive that is for Deshaun Watson.
Well, so getting rid of Russell Wilson part is attractive.
Pardon me?
The getting rid of Russell Wilson part is attractive.
Well, that was the
and all the draft picks are attractive, except that they would presumably come to Houston.
And therefore, it's going to be harder for Seattle to win, according to when you look at Deshaun's point of view. Here's the problem for Deshaun, though, is that anywhere he goes, they're giving up a bunch of draft capital. So anywhere he goes has got to be a team that's ready to win without good young players coming up because those good young players are going to be in the Deshaun Watson trade. It's so funny. I don't see the Panthers. I just don't see Deshaun going, yeah, I can't wait to get to Charlotte. I just don't see it.
Well, I mean, at what point are you just going to, like, is there anywhere you want to play?
Yeah.
Well, tell me the place that you think he wants to play.
I would think Philadelphia would be attractive to him. Nope. And he's already said, no, it's not attractive to him.
So tell me a place. I keep hearing Deshaun wants to go somewhere. Tell me the places he wants to go.
Yeah.
All I hear about is
I thought Tampa might be.
Great. Place. That's off the board.
Yeah, that's off the board.
So is Deshaun retiring this year or is he just going to sit it out and get his money again this
year? Well, he's not going to sit it out. He's not going to retire.
Well, then where will he play?
Per se. I think he has to go out and play if he wants to earn that $35 million.
Where will he? Well, that's silly. Have you not watched sports?
Well. You're right.
The sleeping bag tells you can make your money wherever you want.
You don't. I mean,
you don't have to play.
I'm golfing at Wildcat today. Maybe I'll see Deshaun there.
Deshaun and John Wall.
How about the Browns?
I don't know. Will Deshaun live in Cleveland? You better check.
Well, at Jarvis Landry is out. What receivers do they have left over there? After
sorry, you're out too.
What about Pittsburgh?
No, supposedly that would be the one that to me would make perfect sense. I would think Deshaun would have to consider that, but supposedly it's just like, I don't know.
What? I don't know?
It's like, I don't know if there's a place Deshaun will play.
I don't know.
So what about Miami? Deshaun, we already told you, you're not going to Miami.
Want to play there.
Here's where I want to play. San Francisco, Miami, Denver. Those are my places.
But they don't want you, though. Don't you get that?
Make the deal happen.
We're really running out of teams.
You're going to have to open up
some
teams.
How about if they trade Carr and he goes to the Raiders?
And you get Carr back?
No, they trade Carr to somebody.
Well, there's Carr to the Colts.
That's one of the rumors that came out. I've seen Carr rumors.
Deshaun, I would think, would go to Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
Now we got to check if he's okay with the Heat.
No, he's going to be fine with the Heat. There's a lot of masseuse and stuff touching.
Yeah, that's
going on
not
there.
What we're supposed to do there.
But that's not.
By the way, that's not a thing anymore. This can't be a thing, and it never was a thing for some people. Some people on Twitter were saying, "See, this is all a cash grab. Not guilty, innocent."
No, that's not true. None of that happened. He wasn't not guilty. He had no bill on charges.
Explain what this is.
This is that the prosecutor didn't want this trial. Okay, first of all, didn't think they could win this trial because it's a he said, she said. That's all it is. But it's 22 of them.
My point from
the it's 22.
My point from the beginning was I didn't know how you're going to be able to win.
Yeah.
Because it's circumstantial evidence, even though
well, you it's could a go he off said, the, she
you
said.
Can go
not
off the
so
text messages and stuff like that, but I don't know what all was said.
Right.
And it's one thing, civil, like Deshaun's going to come out of pocket for these civil settlements.
Yeah.
I mean, that's going to happen, but
you don't have to be found guilty beyond a reasonable doubt.
More importantly, right now from a playing football standpoint, so another guy who did not face criminal charges, there were charges actually brought up and then they were dropped, was Ezekiel Elliott. And he still got a 6-game suspension from the NFL that I think was appealed down to 4, if I remember correctly. Yep. What happens to Deshaun Watson now?
Well, he's going to catch it. There's no question.
He's going to get a suspension, I would think, at least similar to Ezekiel Elliott.
And maybe more. Maybe more. This is 22, not just one. So, I mean, and there's been...
Well, with Zeke, it wasn't just one either. You had the girl on the float where he pulled her top down.
Yeah.
Like, that had happened after that.
Yeah.
Ezekiel had a few things that the league just said, this guy's out of control.
Yeah, but it was...
He had something at the Pro Bowl.
It was New Orleans or somewhere.
No, you can't
it was
pull
Mardi
someone's...
Gras.
No. Just because it's Mardi Gras, I don't want you to say that out loud.
No, but she didn't press
you
any.
You can't
charges.
Do
I mean,
that.
She didn't press any.
Doesn't
charges.
Matter. This guy's got a... there was a... Pro Bowl, I mean, there's a series of bad behavior. The league knew it. It was an issue.
Oh, there's
stuff
what?
Headed into the league.
No. There's sexual misconduct by Deshaun Watson, and there is going to be a price to pay. And whatever that price is going to take something off the top of whatever the Texans get. But the Texans are still going to get a great haul, hopefully, if, in fact, Deshaun decides that he'd like to play somewhere this year, anywhere this year. Deshaun, we're running out of teams.
We
Tampa's out. Denver's out. Miami's out. Probably Seattle is out because we can understand you not wanting to go to Seattle. But there's got to be a place that you want to play. There are 32 NFL teams, Deshaun.
If you want to get traded to a team, they need quarterback, and teams who need quarterback typically aren't good.
Right.
This is how this works.
713-780-3776. If you've got any thoughts on Deshaun Watson, you're more than welcome to get in here and display those. We've got a couple of things to talk about on the other side. We got the NCAA tournament. But what about, what's interesting is that nobody has signed Carlos Correa yet. We'll talk about that on the other side.
We got a lot. We really have a lot to get to. If you have, want to get your thoughts on Deshaun Watson, too, and we will raise the question at about 7:30 because I think Houston needs to weigh in on this one because I'll be honest. I have an idea, but I'm really not sure about Houston's response to this entire thing. So we will get into it a little
bit.
There's
a breaking story, though, that could change Deshaun's mind. The Texans have re-signed Chris Moore to a one-year deal. Maybe he'll want to come back now.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wide receiver Chris Moore.
One of Deshaun's people has been asking about Lovie Smith recently.
Oh, yeah?
I don't think it means Deshaun will stay, but I don't know that it even means that the Texans want Deshaun to stay. But just like, what's it do with Lovie Smith, how did that go down? You know, one of those type things.
Yeah.
And
well, it went down like Lovie everything at the Texans goes down.
I think Lovie, weirdly. I'll tell you how exactly how it went down. It went down not by the book. It was not a textbook coaches hire. What do you think?
Oh my gosh, Mary Kay Cabot, don't say this. We're going to talk about it on the other side. We got Carlos Correa talk to do. We got college basketball to talk. All we got to do all you got to do is give us a call if you want to get in, 713-780-3776. I, right now, I'm talking about ProDunkHoops.com. ProDunkHoops.com. Those are my peeps over there, ProDunkHoops. Keith Tate is unbelievable. He is fantastic. If you are looking for a great way to get that basket, all you got to do is go to ProDunkHoops.com. Tempered glass backboard. Competition-grade breakaway rim. The goals are adjustable. You can go from 5 feet to 10 feet. The extended overhang, that's the distance between the backboard and the pole. Great for layups, rebounding, and safety. No crashing into the pole. Durability, I mean, we bought ours, I don't know, was it 20 years ago? And it looks like it's brand new still. The installation is maybe the greatest feature they have. They install the goal. ProDunk Hoops will professionally install your goal at the perfect height and perfect straight. Don't try this on your own. ProDunk Hoops goals come in a variety of sizes and options, so there's a perfect fit for your driveway or yard. Give them a call, 281-351-9822, or visit them at ProDunkHoops.com. That's ProDunkHoops.com.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by. You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Welcome back on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 716, John and Lance, and you at 713-780-3776. You got any thoughts on this? So, Carlos Correa, it's going to be interesting. Listen, there's a lot of signings going on, a lot of comings and goings. Josh Donaldson is now with the New York Yankees. They made a deal. They sent Gary Sanchez and Gio Urshela to the Twins, and Josh Donaldson is coming. He's got $44 million, I believe, left on a couple of years on his deal.
He's got $44 million and $100 million worth of attitude.
Yeah, he does.
Like, him in New York is either going to go great or terribly.
Well, I think it's going to go great. I think they're going to love him.
They'll love him, but he's got to perform.
Yeah, he's got to perform. Yep. Well, he was still hitting bombs last year. He's still, and we'll see. But you go to New York, and you never know how it's going to turn out. But the Twins traded for Kiner Falefa and then traded him right away to the Yankees. So Carlos Correa, I think it's interesting that it doesn't seem, and Buster Olney was on yesterday saying that it doesn't look like the market is out there really for Carlos Correa, that he might have to do a short-term deal. I, we've been talking about this for a while now. How many times have I said, I really believe a two-year deal, Carlos Correa getting back to free agency still in his 20s at 29 years old, you've got your window open here with the Houston Astros. I could certainly see.
Oh, it's always sense if there wasn't a long term. Now, if anything approaches $300 million, that obviously makes more sense.
Well, but I think, is there
anyone offering? Is the question.
Is there anyone offering that? And I think he's asking for more than that. He said he thinks his number should start with a four, not with a three.
Scott Boras said that. I think Carlos believes his number should start with a three, and Scott Boras comes in and goes, "Good. Here's what we do. We ask for a four. We'll get in the threes and we're good."
Well, if they get in the threes.
But that's the problem, is what you're asking for is a per-year number that is enormous, and then you take that per-year number and you throw a contract length that is outrageous. And then you from the very beginning, there were some articles about, and by the way, what a weird time that we live. Do you recognize that right now it is concurrently baseball free agency and football free agency? There's never been a time. It's because of how baseball had a lockout. We now have double free agencies working together where we're hearing about football deals and baseball deals concurrently. I was just like, wait a minute, this is weird. And I realized, oh yeah, it's the lockout. But it's with Carlos Correa, there have been some executives, I guess, that told, I want to say it was Ken Rosenthal who was the first one to have the article and said, look, he may not have the number that he's expecting, because there are some executives that I spoke to, I read this, that said the back issue is a concern for teams. They don't know what to make of it. A, they don't have your medicals, and they can't get your medicals because it's, player association. So they don't know what to expect from the back. If the Astros made an 8-year deal, I would think that an 8-year deal, well, no, there's no reason. Carlos thinks he can still get it after. He probably wants new money on the table next year in all teams. And
I would be shocked if it was an 8-year deal. But I wouldn't be shocked at all if it's the Astros. I would not be shocked at all, because I think that Boras has overplayed his hand here. I think that there's not that huge deal out there for Carlos Correa. There hasn't been. I mean, Detroit was the biggest offer that we've seen so far, and that was $275 million. Carlos Correa turned that down and said, no, I'm worth more than that. And you're right, the back issue, I think if he plays a couple of more years, stays healthy, has big years, at 29 years old, he could get a huge contract.
From the time,
but he doesn't even need that 10-year deal, because he's going to get, I think, What could happen is he gets that two-year deal, maybe let's say about 70, 35 a year in that neighborhood, $70 million. Now all you need over the next 8 years is $230 million, and that's very doable.
So we talked about this from when the Astros offered their six-year $150 million deal. That next day, that happened on Sunday, that next day we came in here and we talked about the only chance the Astros really had, unless they're able to get to 8 years, was to go 2 years or 3 years or 1 year. That was the only chance they had, but it looked very unlikely for Carlos to accept a two-year deal with multiple teams bidding. I don't know if the lockout helped. I mean, I can't think that it helped at all necessarily. It's nothing really changed for teams locked out. But if Carlos has not if he hasn't signed already, you know, just literally listen, 4 days in the free agency, that is a good sign for Houston.
It's a great sign for Houston. Listen, do you think that if you think that Boris wasn't working behind the scenes during the lockout, then you would be sadly mistaken. Scott Boras was absolutely talking to people. Scott Boras don't talk to GMs. You know who makes the decision on $300 million deals? The owner. So Scott Boras is talking to owners. Scott Boras is talking to all different owners around the league. And you would have thought that if there was such a market and Carlos was so, and that they needed to have Carlos so badly, that they would have had a deal done almost immediately after free agency started, and it's not happening. So the longer that this thing goes on, the more likely I think it is that the Astros and the – how great would it be to have Carlos in a two-year window here with Verlander? We'll see what happens with McCullers. I don't know. I'm still not convinced that McCullers – we haven't heard word one about him throwing. We haven't heard word one about him being healthy enough to pitch this year
assume he's going into camp, that he'll be in camp.
I guess. Well, is he there? They started yesterday.
I would assume.
They started there yesterday. Is he throwing?
I would assume he's throwing.
I guess.
I haven't heard anything.
I hope so, because they start games on Thursday. Regardless, with Verlander, you got a two-year window here. You still got all these guys that you're not paying. This is the time that the Astros can make hay for a couple more years, go on a seven-year run here, which is almost unheard of in Major League Baseball. If you can get a two-year deal done with Carlos Correa, maybe it's going to be longer. Maybe it's going to be – I doubt he does six. I really do. I think that would be dumb for Boris to do a six or seven-year deal, because by the time – when he gets out of free agency, when he gets out of that that deal, he's going to be too old to grab big money. So this is an interesting time, but the longer that it takes, the more that the more your Houston Astros are definitely in play.
There's no question. Yep. You want this thing to drag out and for Carlos to say, you know what? Of all the options, I'd rather get to the market sooner, a reset market, a new market, and I'd rather roll with my team for Justin Verlander's next couple of years.
Yep.
Lance is his guy, though. Lance McCullers and him are boys. I know they've been spending a lot of time, Carlos, with all his teammates, because that's his friends.
Well, Machete is his guy. Loves Machete.
Well, he loves Machete, but Lance is his best friend. Lance is the one who, did you see, Lance is the one who was the godfather of his child.
Yeah.
They had the pictures on social media, but I don't know if Lance plays or doesn't play. I think it's irrelevant. Let's get Troy in here. If you guys want to jump in, 713-780-3776. Definitely want to hear your thoughts on Deshaun Watson, and want to hear your thoughts on Carlos Correa as well. But a lot of different things going on here in Houston. There's things that aren't happening, but they're kind of happening as we go. The no bill on Friday was a huge, huge story around the NFL, and certainly for Texans fans looking to see what would happen next for Deshaun. Let's get Troy in here. He wants to talk about Deshaun Watson. What's up, Troy?
Good morning, guys. I'm a Saints fan. So I'm just curious. I'm looking at what I heard yesterday. They said that the Panthers and the Saints offered him a trade or whatever. So I'm thinking the Saints probably might be the best option for him, you know, considering how good a defense we have and, you know, how good we've been on offense consistently over the years. But obviously we have a new coach now, so that might change. But I'm thinking because of our defense, we have the best situation for him to get into to compete for a championship soon. Hello?
Yeah. It was breaking up just a little bit there.
Oh, okay.
to your Saints. Yeah, you like him to your Saints.
The problem with the Saints is going to be what does the offer look like for the Texans coming back? Here's one thing that I think Nick Caserio is going to do. He's got to balance between getting what he wants and the team wants versus what Deshaun wants. They have to overlap somewhat, but at the same time, he also needs to, before any suspensions come down, he also needs to probably make a move. I mean, the sooner he makes a move, the better. So I could see the Saints draft 18. Now, this is an interesting scenario. Let's just play with the Saints thing here for a second. Okay, let's say you move for the Saints 18th pick. You know, sitting at 18, there's a really good chance that you have Matt Corral available. There's a chance you could have Kenny Pickett available. We're sure everything's all in on Davis Mills, right? Davis Mills is the guy.
Yeah.
Like, not Matt Corral, not Kenny Pickett.
No, I don't
neither
think
one of those
that.
Guys
they're
are
not
better.
Doing that. They're not doing that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I'm just telling you now that right now you could move Davis Mills, if you wanted to a team, and he'd probably fetch you a first. Your third would become a first. I just want you to know that.
Davis Mills right now
might fetch you a first. Worst case scenario, at least 1 second and probably more.
Well, but that would have to be a late first, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah, obviously. But teams with late firsts usually have a quarterback.
Yeah, usually.
Yeah.
What about Steelers?
Oh, how late are they?
Steelers are in the 20s. And they're in the early 20s.
Yeah, they didn't.
This year, I think.
Yeah, they didn't.
Honestly, they're like 22.
They didn't make the playoffs, so they should be. Yeah,
23. So, I'm just a hypothetical because no one's talking about this. You know, Davis Mills has some trade. He would have some trade value. I'm just telling you now. He has outplayed his third round status. So what he's worth now to me is going to be worth maybe a 2 and a 5 that could become a 4. Maybe a team would say, you know what? We love Davis Mills. We love them coming out. He's worth a 1 to us.
Yeah.
Late 1. What if the Steelers offered you a 1? What if the Steelers offered you a 1 for Davis Mills?
Wow. You'd have to grab Pickett or Corral. Are you ready to do that again? Throw a rookie?
No, it's not happening. I just want to throw the hypothetical because no one's talked about that.
Right.
I just wanted to throw that out there because we hadn't talked about it. I want to make you think about it because it's something I hadn't really thought about. What if somebody came to you with an offer for Davis Mills because everyone wants the young guy that they can grow, and maybe there's more of a –
Did
a more
you
known
see too much out of him that you want him instead of a Matt Corral or a Kenny Pickett? I think so.
Well, that's ultimately what the Texans would wager on is that they would rather take Davis Mills.
And they know a little bit of what they got with him. All right, when we come back, Cougs in the tournament. We haven't even touched on
one team. The Cougs are in. Kelvin Sampson, just the best coach.
He is the best.
He just coached circles around Hardaway. But there's a team that did not make the tournament that has a lot of people buzzing. We'll get to that here in about 2 minutes. 7:29 right here in TGS Insurance. No matter what the time is on the clock, you can get brand new homeowners insurance at discounted rates. Now, the reasons they're discounted is not because it's discounted insurance. It's A-rated insurance. It's just a competitive rate. And rarely with homeowners insurance are you going to find a company who gives you a competitive rate year after year. In other words, from 1 year to the next, a company is going to raise your rates. If you have owned a home for any amount of time, this is something that you know. It's something we all deal with. The company at the last 3 months or 2 months of your homeowner's insurance, they send you a letter out, or now they'll send you an email out, and it says, okay, this is what your rate's going to be, and you're like, it's 140 more. I'm like, it's not the end of the world, I guess, but I wish it wasn't going down. I was hoping it would go down, and it looks like it's going up, and they'll tell you something like, well, because of a hailstorm and the freeze and flooding and concerns of flooding, our rates are going up. If you don't shop for a new homeowner's insurance, they will continue to go up year after year. And that's why many people are saving in the thousands because they've been with the same company for 10 years. I had a listener the other day saved over $2,000 with TGS Insurance. Make sure you just text the word money to 232323, and within 15 seconds, you're going to have a firm quote on A-rated insurance, and you can find out how much you can save. That's TGSinsurance.com. Text the word money to 232323.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. How about them Cougs, huh? I mean, after they listen, they got their ass handed to them by Memphis twice. Memphis here was dominant. The Cougs were terrible with the ball. They couldn't. They were just awful with the ball. And actually, at Memphis as well, just turning the ball over. And then they play them a third time for the championship, for the AAC championship, and beat that. I mean, you want to talk about Kelvin Sampson putting a beat down. But it was, how about Frank White Jr., who was hurt and came back. It looked like he was, how many injuries does this team have to have?
It's unbelievable.
Goodness gracious. Tremont Marcus Sasser, and it looked like Frank White had injured himself. And he comes back. That's all he does is win the MVP of the tournament, of the AAC tournament. First team, all AAC, along with Josh. This team, 29-5,
mm-hmm.
and a fifth seed. Now,
it's a fair seeding based on
what
they have.
Bad. It's not bad.
No,
it's
not
bad.
It's fair.
But if they had Sasser, if they had Mark.
Well, they win at least one more of those games. And maybe two more.
They're a three seed. They're a three or
worst,
two.
At worst, three. Because I think they would have been a three-loss team.
Did you see the stats on Duke getting a two seed versus Tennessee getting a three?
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, Duke is not probably deserving of that.
Well, and it's just because of Krzyzewski in his last year and everything mm-hmm. else. But that puts... Yeah, listen, that's bad for those guys because they're just not – they shouldn't be a two seed. They should be a three seed. There's way too much expectation. It's not like – listen, a three seed is going to play a two seed to get into the NCAA and to get to the finals anyway. That's going to happen, to get to the one seed. So it really doesn't matter whether you're a three or two. It really doesn't. Not that big a deal. You move up one spot. But Tennessee was so deserving, and so was Texas A&M. Now, they did get it handed to them yesterday by Tennessee. But the way that Texas A&M played down the stretch, they were one of the hottest teams in the country. They started so slow, though, and I know they took it into account. But they're better. They've got statistically, they are so much better than some of the teams that made this tournament. Ross Bjork whining, I guess. I don't know. If you're the athletic director, you got to say something.
Yeah, I didn't think it was whining. Yeah. I think the athletic director is him or Buzz or both that are going to talk about it. But A&M got screwed. A&M, especially with their run in the tournament, they kind of got boat raced by Tennessee. I mean, it was 9 at the half, and then they just couldn't. They just couldn't, other than making the first basket of the second half. That was really the only draw the Aggies had the whole second half where you thought maybe, and then it was quickly no, nothing's happening. But I felt like that was good enough to get them in as maybe a worst case scenario, a 10 or a 9 is where you're, because you're not going to put that kind of team at a 12. I mean, you have automatic qualifiers. So I thought for sure they'd be in. I really did. I thought, well, A&M has put enough on the board where they're going to get in. The fact they weren't, I don't blame the AD for making a comment.
No, I don't.
That's
either.
Kind of his, you know.
Especially when Rutgers is there and Notre Dame is there, and you're like, "What the? Are you kidding me?" The rest of, and Texas A&M beat Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
They beat Notre Dame heads up, and they're a better team. They had a better season all the way around, better run at the end. It was it's just unbelievable that they got left off. They're the number one seed in the NIT, and deservedly so. They had a stretch though. From January 19th to February 12th, which was almost a month, where they lost 2, 4, 6, 8 games. They didn't have a win for nearly a month. But then they went on a run. Holy crap, were they good. 2, 4, 6, 7, 8 out of 9 they won down the stretch and just looked great. Man, what a streaky team. They had just won 2, 4, 8 in a row. Then they lost 8 in a row. Then they won 8 out of 9.
Mm-hmm.
Buzz has got to get a little more consistency there. But you want to talk about a team that you want to talk about stepping up as the 9 seed to do what they did to get to the championship game in the SEC. That's a fun team to watch. It's probably a little disappointing. Do you expect? I don't know if I expect them to win the NIT. The teams that aren't where they think they belong.
Well,
it's hard to bounce back.
It is, but those teams have been winning recently in NITs. It's almost like they've had a little. There's been a little bit more piss and vinegar with the way they played. But you know, frankly, once you're in NIT, no one cares other than your fan base. That's the way it works. Other than your fan base, and I think that care factor is only once you get to the very, very end. It's hard on March Madness for people to care about your team when they've got all their brackets and they're going to catch a lunch somewhere.
Well, I feel bad for Kelvin Sampson and this team.
Because
a smattering of Houston fans there. I mean, when you saw – watching Kansas and Kansas playing the championship, and you look in – of course, it wasn't Kansas City.
Yeah.
Which isn't so far. But when you saw the crowd there for that game, and then you see what the Cougs – this was a Final Four team last year. This is a team that's running through the tournament. The support just got to get better, Coug fans. It's just got to get better, especially for that basketball team and for this football team this year. It's just got to get better. I felt bad for them. Now, if they are able to get to the Sweet 16, now they have to face Arizona in the first round of the Sweet 16, in the round of 16, but it's in San Antonio. So hopefully, Coug fans, get to Pittsburgh if you can to watch them Friday night. But definitely, you got to show up in San Antonio.
Remember when, what was the game? East Carolina. It was a Saturday game, and a ton of people were there.
Yeah.
And everyone was all excited. Well, that was without your two of your best players on the team then. So it's not really the excuse about, you know, because I was internally making the excuse, well, maybe it's because Coug fans know that there's only so far this team can go with the injuries they have. But it didn't stop them from showing out in other games.
Yeah. No, well,
in
the
tournament, you want to. Well, but this is kind of here. San Antonio's not a long drive.
Well, no. Right.
It's not as long as Tuscaloosa.
Well, then they do have to beat Arizona now to get there. So that might curtail some people from going.
But that's why you go.
That's why you go.
See them play a good team.
They could beat Arizona. Be awesome.
Upset. So watch the upset. So I'll dig in and see what tickets look like. I'd love to take my kids to a game.
That would be awesome.
Yeah. I mean, it's a drivable game.
Yeah, absolutely. Just 3 hours away. You get a hotel. You enjoy it. Or if you're not drinking like me, I can be your designated driver. I'll drive the bus. Let's go. It starts in Pittsburgh on Friday night, 8:20. The Cougs are playing. So you got that. So 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. When we come back, what did you learn this weekend in one sentence? And there's so much to have learned. So much to have learned. What did you learn this weekend? And it doesn't have to be sports. I mean, you could have learned, well, Tom Brady is...
there's a lot to learn.
D-baggy. I don't know. What did you... did you learn that Deshaun Watson is completely innocent? You can tell me that. Okay. Let's go. What did you learn? Did you learn that your wife... was having an affair with your brother?
Jeez.
Okay.
It doesn't have to go that dark.
Well, I don't know what you learned this week.
I want to keep your family stuff private.
Well, you might.
I mean, if you want to give it up, it's up to you.
You might be disgusted with her right now and want everybody to know. I don't know.
I mean, we are a platform.
We are the platform for that. So what is it that you learned this weekend in one sentence? 713-780-3776. I've learned a long time ago that HRMP is the way to go if you need payroll. That's what I learned. So if you're looking for the best way to get into that payroll, the HR is awfully, awfully important as well. But so are the taxes, okay? The Affordable Care Act is kind of a big deal. This is tax time right now. How is your payroll handling it? Are they handling it? Or are they just passing it on? Well, here you go. And now take care of business. No, that's not the way it should go. HRMP takes care of all of that stuff for us. And they take care of it expertly. And they even told me before, listen, if people are having a problem with their Affordable Care Act, just tell them to call us because we will help them out because they've got expertise over there. And if you're looking for a great way to get that payroll to your employees, from 15 to 800,000 employees, it doesn't matter. In different states, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how complicated it is, because HRMP will figure it out. And they'll customize it for you. That was the big deal with us, is that we had a payroll company that wouldn't customize it for us. We said, beat it. We're going with HRMP. HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
Get low when the whistle goes.
Wheel. Fun. Sports.
ESPN 97.5.
The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, we got a full board right now. I don't know what it is. Some people learned some stuff this weekend, Lance. Okay.
There was a lot of stuff to learn.
There was a lot of stuff. It was a busy, busy, busy weekend. And what did you learn this weekend in one sentence? As soon as somebody gets off, you get on. So let's go. We start with John. John, what did you learn this weekend in one sentence? That's it. One sentence.
After watching the Deshaun Watson case, I've learned that B's ain't nothing but T's and H's.
That's ugly.
That is ugly. There's ugliness I know that what you means. Learned this weekend. You learned ugliness this weekend. Art is next. Art, what did you learn this weekend?
Man, I learned gas prices are so high, Tom Brady had to come out of retirement for his 23rd.
He hadn't mentioned that part yet.
I don't think Tom Brady mentioned gas prices in his return. I didn't see that. Did you see gas prices?
No. All I could think about when I was driving, we recently drove to and back from Tuscaloosa, so I got hit by the gas prices multiple times, and all I could think of was, maybe that whole electric car thing, maybe they're onto something here. Although, I don't know how you get across. Is there some place you just fill up outside of Vider or somewhere in Louisiana?
There's all kinds of stations along the way.
There's all kinds of plug your gas, not at regular gas stations.
Not because it's not gas. Don't worry, they've got plug-in
stations. In North
Louisiana? All over the place. They're going to be more prevalent than gas stations in some point in this country.
At some point.
Yeah. But they do. No, they have places.
I didn't see anything when I was headed up the... From Baton Rouge up north.
No, they have an app that'll tell you. You don't have that app.
I'm sure that app doesn't. No, I don't have that app. I'm sure that app doesn't have a lot in that area.
Well, up in Tuscaloosa?
The way there.
It's not really.
Do you know that I was driving through an area of Baton Rouge? Waze got me into a shortcut, and I was like, hey, Waze, this doesn't seem super safe. And people were staring at me as I'm driving by, like, why is everyone turning? A guy on a motorcycle slowed down and turned and looked at me like, what is he doing here? And I realized, oh, Waze, just keep me on the busy road.
Who's next? Is that Nestor?
Nestor.
What's up, Nestor?
Hey, what's up, man? Yeah, I learned that this weekend that Small Circle Society is taking over the podcast game. That's what I learned.
What is taking over what?
The podcast.
I didn't.
Something society's taking over.
When you're doing these, please talk into your phone, everybody.
Yeah.
So that we can, that'd be great.
And then wait just for a second in case you want to ask a quick follow-up about what you're talking about.
Yeah, because we can't sometimes, I don't know. There's
something society.
For whatever reason in this segment, there's a lot of time. There's a lot of times we can't understand. People don't talk into their phone. So 713-780-3776, what did you learn this weekend in one sentence? Ocho, ¿qué pasó, Ocho?
I learned that wrestler Kevin Nash of NWO was once a teammate of Magic Johnson on a high school all-star team.
I had heard that. I had heard that before. Well, I'd heard he was a basketball player, not Magic Johnson. Did you learn that again in your... he's gone. Because, you know, he learns a lot of stuff from reading that or either watching a documentary about in the Playboy Mansion. I bet you every week it's something about the Playboy Mansion. So I'll bet you...
That was in the Playboy
I bet you that was in that documentary.
Right.
I don't think it was going to be in the Winning Time, the Lakers documentary.
I haven't seen...
Well, it's not a documentary. It was done by Adam McKay. So it's not a documentary, but I think I might check it out. They say that apparently they make Jerry West look really bad in that show. I was listening to Mad Dog Russo talk about it. I was flipping channels because I had a lot of listening to do in driving to Tuscaloosa. And he was like, I can't believe they make Jay West look this bad on this show when you know it's not even real. They do it for TV purposes to make Jay West look bad. I'm like, what? What is he saying? I just have to keep listening for context clues. But apparently some of what they say is not 100% accurate, and it makes Jerry West, it paints him badly.
Oh, all right. I don't know. I haven't seen it yet, but I'm interested, too, to check
Mad
it
Dog's
out.
Mad Dog's not super easy to understand.
No. He's one of our callers on the phone line here. Ryan wants to tell us what he learned this weekend in one sentence. What'd you learn this weekend in one sentence, Ryan?
Don't get hammered on a Sunday night till about 2 o'clock in the morning. Expect to be worth it. Anything on a Monday morning going to work.
Yeah, see, I've known that feeling. I've been there. I've done that, Ryan. I would say, yeah, but it's so good until 2 a.m. It's so bad when you have to wake up at 6:30 or whatever you had to wake up for, at Ryan, to get up and do. And but it's so good. It's so good,
it's not,
and then
it's
so bad.
It's a terrible feeling.
It's terrible. No. I get that. Underrated mess. 713-780-3776. What did you learn this weekend in one sentence? Underrated mess.
I learned that I am tough as nails and can defeat all odds playing golf in the cold, according to the announcers at the Players.
Oh.
If you can play in cold weather, apparently you're one of the toughest people in the world.
Well, I learned that, man. 25-mile-an-hour winds into 17 creates havoc, even for the greatest golfers in the world.
It was windy. When I was driving back to Houston, we had to stop it.
Yeah.
We ended up stopping at the Nugget and stayed there.
You're driving.
A 35-mile-an-hour wind gust.
Yeah.
At one point, the truck, there was a big 18-wheeler in front of me that went across, and I'm like, I'm getting off this. It was so windy when this, whatever the cold front, when I'm driving, it was 65 miles an hour, or 65 degrees. When I woke up, it was 38. I'm like, I got shorts. I got no change of clothes. We got out of the Nugget, and it was cold.
It got cold, bro. It got cold. 713-780-3776. What did you learn this weekend in one sentence? Forrest. What is this? There's only one Forrest. This is my man, Forrest. What'd you learn this weekend, Forrest?
Johnny boy, what are you doing, man? Good to see you. Hear you. Hey, I learned from my pastor that the island in my kitchen is a Guinness Book of World Records size.
I heard that too. West was giving you the business. Hey, that's right. But
I got a shout out.
Yeah, I know. You got another shout out. I was going to text you, but you were there, I think. Yeah. So, West has the largest island in the kitchen that you can possibly have in the history of the world. Rico, what did you learn this weekend? 713-780-3776.
I learned that A&M got absolutely robbed of a spot in the tourney.
Yeah, they did. I kind of agree with you. They was robbed. I mean, especially with Notre Dame, man. Are you kidding me? Notre Dame was terrible down the stretch. But that eight, when you go a month without winning, I mean, that had to have played into it. That had to have played into it. But the way that the Aggies were playing, it's just awful, awful, awful that they didn't get in. 713-780-3776. What did you learn this weekend in one sentence? Ben, what did you learn this weekend in one sentence?
Hey, it wasn't the gas prices. It's about being Giselle and with the kids all day, every day.
You think that Tom Brady said, I've had enough.
Listen.
I've had enough.
You don't know that that's not part of it. Tom Brady, I want to spend time with the kids. And then all of a sudden, before you know it, like, hey, let me just tell you, sometimes when draft season rolls, because I don't see my kid. Yesterday I did stuff with my, we went to play basketball, went to the MC Escher Museum. We're going to do some bowling stuff. Like, I got a bunch of stuff playing with the kids this week for their spring break because I want to, I feel like I missed out on doing stuff with the kids. You know, it's once my draft stuff hits, I'm basically a ghost. But at some point, you just say, hey, when does that draft stuff start back up? When do I go back in and start sitting at my desk for 15 hours a day? Tommy could have had the same thing. Even with nannies and maids and butlers or whatever he's got at his house, there might be a time where Tommy says, I'd rather just be working out right now, hanging out with the fellas. I'd rather just be throwing out on the... You know, for him, it's like, that's like hitting balls for Tom. it's a zen thing. Probably being out on a field somewhere, throwing, you know, 12-yard outs to Mike Evans on air is probably like him hitting golf balls.
Yeah.
Like, I wish I was just throwing to Scotty Miller right now. I wish I was just throwing option choice routes to Scotty Miller and, you know, me and Byron.
Yeah, because nothing against his kids, but if he's throwing in the backyard to his kids, they're very unathletic. And I can see that it would be a major letdown.
They don't need to be athletic.
Well, they're not. They're Tom Brady's kids. They're not going to be really athletic. I'm sorry. They're just not going to be really athletic.
They're going to be very, very smart at deciphering defenses.
Yes, and they may be the greatest quarterbacks in the history of the game.
Most children of athletes are not good.
No,
they're
not great.
Every once in a while, it's like Kobe.
Right.
But his dad wasn't a megastar.
No.
The megastar's kids are not. We're already hearing buzz that LeBron, you know, Bronny, it's been built up like Bronny is going to be one of the great players that's ever touched the game when he was 11 and 10 and 13. And all of a sudden, it's like people who are in AAU are like, Bronny's not even a first-round pick. And articles now, would you draft LeBron, LeBron's son, if you knew you could get LeBron? What about in the second round? I'm like, I thought this kid was supposed to be like this magical unicorn of a player who was going to change face of the sport for years. When he was 10, that's what I was hearing. Now, all of a sudden, it's turned into, would you draft him in the second? If you could have LeBron play? Like, probably not. LeBron would change my whole team up.
Right. So, anyway. Okay, so I learned this weekend that Bruno Fernando is a beast. Went to the game on Friday night. Bruno Fernando came in. Now, Wood wasn't playing, and neither was who else was down. Somebody else was down, too. And they got their ass handed to him by Dallas. But Bruno Fernando came in and was a monster. 8 for 8, 11 rebounds, 16 points. He was blocking shots. He was in the flagrant fouls. Bruno Fernando was a force in the middle. And then last night he got 2 minutes. What the? Uh-huh. I mean, Christian Wood's not a center. What are we doing? Christian Wood is not a center. He's a small forward.
Christian Wood will be off this team this summer.
He's a small forward. You need somebody in the middle that can actually stop somebody.
By the draft, I really truly believe that by the draft, there's a better than average chance that Christian Wood will not be on this team and that they will basically be pouring all their resources into a young 20-year-old, and he didn't turn 20 until this summer, Şengün. Şengün will be 20 all next year. Like, when you see the potential for him, and you can go get a free agent. You can go pull a free agent off the scrap heap for whatever, you know, $6 or $7 million who can give you some decent minutes, block shots, things like that. I think they will move on from Christian Wood with a year left on the contract.
I just don't get it, though. I just don't get it. How does Bruno Fernando was a beast, a beast. He kept you. Well, he didn't keep you in the game. You were never in the game. But he did. There was a little comeback there, and he actually sparked it. He was 8 for 8 from the field. Now, his range is about 2 feet, but that's okay. He was dominant inside, just dominant. And that's what the problem with the Rockets is, they're just getting dominated inside. Valanciunas had 20. He had 32 points. He was 12 of 18 because you can't stop him. Bruno Fernando is a force inside defensively and offensively. What are you doing? What are you doing? Christian Wood is just amazing. Amazing. How I don't get Steven Silas. I just don't understand it. I'm just not going to understand how Steven Silas' rotation. I just won't. I just can't. All right, we're done. 7:58 ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. Another good What Did You Learn This Weekend in One Sentence. When we come back to Astros Talk on the other side right here, and all of baseball, all kinds of deals being closed. We'll talk about it on the other side right
here.
But
not the important one.
Not the big one yet. And that's a good sign for our Houston Astros. Right now, though, why don't you talk about SiteJab?
Let's talk about SiteJab, a company who builds websites. They really do more than build websites. They build entire brands. The SiteJab people, if you go to the website, I'm going to tell you exactly where to go here. So in the upper right-hand corner, they got Let's Meet. They got their phone number, 713-820-6925. They've got the Let's Meet button. It sends you to a page where it allows you to set up your consultation. But if you look at the Who We Are tells you about their 20-plus year history of Hector Garcia and his and his folks over two decades. They've been putting together some really great, great work. But marketing, they've got lead generation, business consulting, video production, branding and identity, social media management. This is on top of their web design business. They have custom websites and e-commerce websites. So when you build it all together, when you bring it together, the suite of products that they offer is basically a ground floor, start to finish, nuts and bolts approach to creating your brand awareness and creating the opportunity for people to interact. And once they do that, you're going to find that there is an opportunity for you to turn eyes into business leads. Make sure that you visit my friends over at SiteJab. If you're considering upgrading your website, let the professionals do it. Stop doing it yourself with WordPress. It's not the same thing. SiteJab.com, SiteJab.com.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting InnovationMap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map.
At America's Best, we know your eyes do a lot. These eyes blink, wink, and roll.
These eyes tried to parallel park, then abandoned that idea.
These eyes spotted their ex across the grocery store, then pretended to compare pasta sauces.
These eyes fell asleep mid-scroll and liked a photo from 2014.
And these eyes know when it's time for an eye exam. America's Best. Every eye deserves better. Most vision insurance plans welcomed.
Pepsi Prebiotic Cola in original and cherry vanilla. That Pepsi taste you love with no artificial sweeteners, only 30 calories, just 5 grams of sugar, and 3 grams of prebiotic fiber. That great Pepsi taste with even more to love. Pepsi Prebiotic Cola. Unbelievably Pepsi.